Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. If you're visiting today, we're glad you're here. It's time to start our service. Grab a church hymnal. Let's all stand for our first song, 384. 384. How many come to church today expecting a blessing? Amen. Turn over to 384. 300, excuse me, 72. 72. 72.
Thank you. everybody.
Good morning.
Brother Stuart in Sunday school this morning was asking for prayer requests and praise reports. And I said, I don't know if you want to consider it praise or not, but I'm back. Like I said, I don't know if you want to consider that praise or not, but I'm thankful to be back with you today. I'm glad to see each and every one here, and I appreciate everybody's prayers, the calls, the texts, the messages, the cards. I'm probably going to forget something, but everything that you've done, I appreciate very much over the last couple of weeks as we've been fighting this knee again, and prayerfully, it's getting better. And prayerfully, it's going to get completely better here eventually. But we just want you to continue to pray for us is what we want you to do. And I do appreciate everything that everybody has done here the last couple of weeks. And we just want to get going again. If you've ever had this kind of injury, and I noticed some today that's a little more injured than others, I guess was what we'll say. But once you get down just a little bit, you kind of get to a place where you got to pick yourself up and go on again. And that's not an easy thing to do. And we as a church, there's times we have to just pick ourselves up and go on again. And that's what I want us to do, is to keep picking ourselves up and keep on going. There's no place to end. You know, I keep thinking about, as far as our revival, and somebody will come up to me ever so often, not from here, but I'm saying from other places that heard about our revival, and they'll say, boy, y'all had a good revival. And I'd say, yeah, we did. We were blessed in that. But I keep going back to those 15 that came during the revival that didn't get saved. And I want us to keep that on our hearts and on our minds, looking for them to get saved. And we don't have to wait till revival to see that. And some of them are here today. And I'd love nothing better than to see them get saved. So let's keep that on our hearts and in our minds today. And as we go on throughout the rest of this year, and whatever time the Lord allows us to have. You know, a lot of times we say that in this year, but we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We'll tell the sinners that you don't have the promise of tomorrow, but you don't either. So let's keep that in our minds and on our hearts today. We want to get on with our service today. Brother Sam will be doing our youth service today for our children's church. And so we'll turn it over to him at this time.
Thank you. Well, you want to get here early, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right, still got them coming in. Everybody had a good day? Yeah? Good weekend so far? Oh, they're still coming. I like it. I like it. Come on in. All right. Very good. All right. I got a schedule to keep. I'm not going to keep you too long. I know y'all are busy. And I hate to bring school into this, but we're going to have math class. Don't look at me like that. When you're old enough to conduct this, you can do what you want. Real quick, y'all have probably heard this, okay? But I love the writings of Solomon, okay? He said in Proverbs 23:23, listen up, get your listening ears on. Buy, as in purchase, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So that's his urge in encouraging us, Ben, to, you know, buy this. This is truth right here, you know. And don't sell it. Don't depart from it. And learn how to apply it, okay? Learn how to use it. Know what it says. Don't deviate from it. So in that mind, let's do a little math. Not really. Two plus two is four. The number two, a plus sign, a two. You know that. Is that a true statement? You don't like pluses? Two plus two is four. Is that a true statement? Everybody think that's right? Don't get out of line with me. 2 + 2 = 4. Okay? So, we can write out the number 4 as F-O-U-R. That's 4, right? We can write out the number 2 as T-W-O, right? What does that word right there say? 2, it's spelled T-O, right? What about that word? T-O-O. It sounds like the number 2, don't it, right?
It's a sight word.
Right, it's a sight word. Listen to me. You're doing so good. What's the word right there?
We don't pay him enough.
4. It sounds like the number 4, doesn't it? What is that word right there? 4, like forearm. Okay. Y'all are so good. All right, here you go. It gets tricky here. T-O plus T-O-O equals F-O-R. Is that the same as that? Oh, come on. It sounds like it. If I couldn't see it, it would sound like you're saying 2 + 2 = 4. Is that the same?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. I'm trying to trick you here. It's not the same.
Amen.
Okay? It's something different. It sounds good. It looks good, but it's not the same. It had the same number, didn't it? Okay, a little bit tricky. 1.9 plus 1.85 equals 3.75. And it's about 4. Is that the same as 2 + 2 = 4? It's close. We might want to fudge it and round up to say 4, but it's not right. You got it? Are you with me? It's close, but it's not the same. All right. 2.1 plus 2.05 is 4.15. It's about 4. Is that the same as 2 + 2 = 4? It isn't, is it? So people want to take, you know, things that may sound close to the truth and make it the truth. Are you with me? People might say, why do you Baptists want to take something that it sounds like this and not make it like that? Because if it's not the truth, it's not the truth.
Right.
Buy the truth. And sell it not. You know, we know what 2 + 2 is. And it's never going to change. Is it going to change? It will never, ever change. It'll always be the same. So no matter how people want to package it, no matter how people want to take it and twist it, okay, are you with me? To make it look like it's close to the number that you want. Almost true is false.
Amen.
Close to true is false. If it's not true, it's not true. Stand up and say this verse with me, okay? Now I want you to say it like you want to hear Nick to hear it outside. By the truth. And sell it not. Also wisdom. And instruction. And understanding. Thank you. You're welcome. You're good.
Brother Tom, she get that mute.
I don't know what
that. That was good.
Amen.
That was good. Amen. Thankful for the good children's lesson. Hopefully the kids learned. From that. I think some of us learned from that, and I'm prayerful that the young ones learned also. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Make sure you pray for me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, Sister Joan. We appreciate this. We heard about it when we got here this morning, and sorry to hear of this this passing in this time. And all of us are familiar with that. That's something that happens from time to time and in all of us' lives. And so we need to always keep these on our hearts is what we need to do. Anybody else have a prayer request? Go ahead. Lord, help. Lord, help. Lord, help. Let's do remember Brother Darrell in our prayers. Somebody else. I appreciate each and every one being here today. I know you heard it announced last Sunday that Brother Colton would be preaching and today, but Brother Colton asked that I would go ahead and preach today since I was going to be here, and so you better do some praying. Y'all do some praying for me today. If you've had surgery, you know you're a little weak in some ways, and so I still have that, but you pray for me today. Pray that the Lord will help me in this service, but especially pray that the Lord will give the words that need to be spoken today. Anybody else have a prayer request? Want everybody to pray in your own way today. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Rodney, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Turn over to page 140, 140. Amen. That was good. Let's do one more song. Choir, won't you stand? We're going to sing an old hymn everyone here should know to finish up. 409. 409 at the bottom of the page. After this, Brother Trey will sing us a special.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempted then to murmur, to grumble and complain. But then I just think of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Then I cry, oh, Rock of Ages, hide thou me. Oh, Rock of Ages.
Appreciate the good playing as always. Many times in our lives, we start to think about the Rock of Ages, and we think about the trials and temptations of life. And what we generally do is we hide from the rock. We decide, well, I can take care of this, or I can do this. Lord, if it gets any worse, I'll holler at you. But where our first go-to place is to hide in the Rock of Ages. And it's not a hiding place. It's a place of comfort. It's a place in which that we can know that we are secure. And that's what that song is about, the security of it and how God lifts us up in those times. Thankful for the good song today, Brother Trey. Done a good job with that. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning before we get started? We want everyone to follow the Lord today in this service. And we're going to take our reading lesson today from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Kind of have a little bit of a junk, we'll call it, in our throat. So be prayerful for us. These verses that I'm going to preach on today, Lord willing, I know that I preached on them a lot, at different times in my younger years, but in my recollection, it's been a long time since I've brought these verses out in a message. So we're going to start in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. We're going to start with verse 6 this morning. Verse 6. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Because the carnal mind, well, back up, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Is our reading lesson today. That's where we'll stop at. Now let's go ahead and get verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Here over the last several months in our Bible study, we've talked about the spirituality in the church. I think it's been a good study for me. I knew what I believed, and I knew what I understood the Scripture to teach and everything, but it was good for me for just to get it together and put it all into a series of lessons. In a sense, that's what this lesson is going to be about today. This message today is going to be about in a certain sense. But we're going to also make the distinction between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Now, I heard a statement made yesterday, of someone who made a statement that somebody said, because this person testified, they were being too spiritual. Yeah, that's kind of my impression of that, too. I don't want us to get to the place where we're ever too spiritual for church. Our lessons today in our Sunday school was about worshiping God. And that's truthfully what we are about to do today in this service. I hope you've already started in your actual worship of God today. But Jesus said in the 4th chapter of the book of John, he told the Samaritan woman, he said, there's coming a time that neither in these mountains nor in Jerusalem will the true worshipers worship God. For God seeketh those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm not going to get so much into the fact of the truth part about it. Brother Sam done a good job with that. What is truth today? And that was true statements. And that's what that's talking about today. But the spirituality part of that today, I want to get into this message today. And I'm not so much to say that it is the spiritual part of us that does anything for God. It's not the spiritual part of us that is going to work in such a way that it's going to be contrary unto God. It's the physical mind of any individual that gets them to a place where that they start to do things on their own. It is the physical part of man that becomes a warfare against God. Now, the important part today is we run down through these verses, and that is my intention today, to try to take these verses and to explain being spiritual versus being material or physical or fleshly. For he said here in this first verse to be carnal. Carnal is fleshly, is what it is. It means being fleshly in this way. To be carnal minded is death. This is the separation that we're going to talk about for just a moment here in this message today. An individual who has been saved by the grace of God has been born of God. The Bible, Jesus doing the speaking in the third chapter of John, he told Nicodemus, ye must be born again, is what he told him. And that being born again, the interpretation of that word again is it means born from above, being born of a spiritual birth. The verse, a few verses down below that, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now he said here in this verse, and to be carnal minded is death. Anybody who has not been saved by the grace of God is dead in their trespasses and in their sins. You might say, well, but preacher, I am breathing, I am talking, I'm here listening to you today. But what I'm trying to tell you is there is something more than this physical life that you have here today. There is something more that is available for you today in the spiritual birth that God has promised to each and every human being. Notice I said to each and every human being. It is up to each and every human being to be able to find that life, to be able to find their way out of that death. What the scripture says here, for to be carnal minded is death. To be in the flesh, to be in such a mind that your mind is on the things of the world, not on the things of God. Not being born of God. You are in a place of death today. If you died in that situation that you're in right now, not being saved by the grace of God, you would find yourself separated from God eternally. I want you to get that today in this service. I want you to get that you would be eternally separated. If you'll study the word death, what the interpretation of that is a separation. Death is a separation. We generally think of it as when that the body dies and the soul leaves the body, and that soul leaving that body is death, right? Some says that it's when you quit breathing. That's not necessarily so. Some people say, well, it's when an individual's heart stops. That's not necessarily so. Let me give you these two examples. When my mother passed away, she was in the hospital, been there for a few days, basically been unknowing for a few days, but she slowly quit breathing. Finally, I guess it was around 10:20 that night, we watched as she took her last breath. They had a heart monitor on her for a little, just observing her. And I went out to that heart monitor, and her heart was still beating. She hadn't took a breath. She had had no response, but her heart was still beating. So what is death? It is exactly what I told you a minute ago. It is the separation of the soul from the body. And that being in that carnal state is death, is what it is. And to be spiritual minded is life and peace. You see, when that an individual is born by the Spirit of God, born from above, as Jesus told Nicodemus, that Spirit brings in life. It brings in eternal life. Many people do not understand the term of eternal life. It is a life that continues on and on and on. But you said, preacher, the body will die. Yes, it will die. Everyone that you know will die one of these days. But the soul within that individual is an eternal being. and that eternal being will survive. I used to be guilty of making a statement that you would have life in eternity somewhere. That's not necessarily true. Life is what we consider to be good, right? We consider life as being something that, well, we're up, we're moving, we're going about, we're enjoying our day-to-day things, whether it's work or not. We enjoy living our life. But life is something that is a pleasure, that is good. But when that a sinner dies in their state, what the scripture tells us, that soul is separated not only from the body, but from God. Yes, from God is who it's separated from. And because that they are separated from God, it is an eternal death. It is an eternal existence being separated from God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be eternally separated from God. But I'm going to tell you something. I took care of that when I was a 14-year-old boy by trusting in the Lord that when I believed in His work that He did as far as Him dying on the cross for my sins, Him going and being put in that grave, and then overcoming death, hell, and the grave when He was resurrected out of that grave. I believed in that work. And when I believed in that work, I believed that God would save me because of that work. And He saved my soul. And what He did, He gave me a spiritual birth. I became a new creature on the inside. I became a new being on the inside. You know how I became new? It was by the Spirit of God. And you go down here to the 16th verse here in this same chapter where He says, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You see, that new birth is God's Holy Spirit moving inside of us, cleansing us, making us pure and clean, as I said before. And that makes a new life is what it does. But the result of that new life is that second word, peace. You see, peace is this. I don't know how you would describe what true peace is, but when you've been in trouble with the Lord, when you've realized that you are that sinner, when you've come to the realization that you do not know God, that you are dead in your trespasses and sin, that you are still carnally minded inside of you, you're in that state. I'm going to tell you, you get to a place where you feel very much in trouble. You feel like there's no hope for you in anything that you can do. And truthfully, there's nothing that you can do but believe in Christ Jesus. And when you do that, He will give you life. And when you know you have life, you have peace. Because all of those things, that trouble, that sorrow for your sin, all of that carnal-minded stuff goes away and it brings in peace. It brings in peace. Now let's move right along. I spent more time there than I thought I would. Because the carnal mind is against God. Oh, no, preacher, I'm not against God. No, I'm coming to church. I'm coming searching for a reason. I'm coming looking for Christ. I'm looking for that. I'm not against God. You see, if you haven't put your full trust and faith in Him, you're against God. The same as. You're the same as, because if you have not totally and completely put that trust in Him, What did you hold back? I'm going to ask you a question. What did you hold back in that moment in time? The scripture tells us, Jesus doing the speaking, I think you'll find it in the book of Luke, I think is where it's at, maybe also in the book of Matthew, where that Jesus made this statement. He said, except you hate father, mother, houses, land, yea, even your own life, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Now that word hate is a very strong word today in our vocabulary. It's a word that's used way too much in our vocabulary these days. There's a lot of times I hear young people as they'll say, I hate that person. Some young girl, some boy has made her mad and she says, I hate him. Some boy will say, that one done me wrong, I hate them. It's bad to even use that word. We tell Cohen when that word comes out of him, Cohen, you're not supposed to use that word. It's not right to use that word. We don't hate anyone. And I don't. I want you to know that today. I don't. I don't hate anyone. I don't like everybody's ways, but I don't hate anyone today. I love you. But this is what he is telling us here. Because the carnal mind is against God. In that moment in time, when you held back in that moment in time, that word that I quoted when it said, except ye hate father and mother, the actual word there means regardless. Except ye regard less your mother and father. How about those houses or land? How about that possession you had? Did you hold on to those things or did you hold on to God? Or did you even reach out to God because you held on to this? You heard me a few Sundays ago, back before my surgery when a couple were here. I told the young lady about her grandfather that I pastored years ago. In his testimony, he made this statement several years ago. Brother Finney's a long time gone now. But Brother Finney went to church with his wife, and he had gotten him a brand new hat that day. And he had paid good money for that hat. He took it with him to church, wore it to church that day. And as the custom of the men in that day was, he laid it on the back seat or they hung it up. Somebody else had all the pegs. He had laid his on the back seat. He got under conviction while at the church service. He got in trouble knowing that he was a sinner, knowing he needed to find the Lord. He went to the altar seeking God. And while he was there, this was his problem. He was worried to death somebody would set on his new hat. Something as trivial as a hat. I know he paid good money for it. That was hard times in those days. I know it was hard for him to get his mind on. But in that moment in time, what he was doing, he was holding on to that hat instead of reaching out to God. Have you ever had to hold something and somebody reaches out to you? Hard to turn loose of that, isn't it? But we're talking about being spiritually born again. Getting your mind out of the carnal things of the world. Getting your mind upon the things of God. Getting your mind upon Him. Because the Because the carnal mind is at enmity or war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be, indeed be. It can't get there. Yes, there's a part of our flesh that is involved when we get saved. There's a part of our flesh that's going to be involved when we worship God. There's a part of this being here that's going to be involved in it. I like this verse, and this is the way that Jesus said it. Jesus said, except ye, let me try it again, I'm starting it wrong. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and get this part, with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. One of the other places said, with all thy body in there. You see, what he said was, he put all of that being into being spiritual. He did not hold on to anything. Whether it was a hat, whether it was shoes, whether it was glasses, whether it was something else, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's something that you've held a grudge about, maybe it's some of these kinds of things that you're still holding on to rather than holding on to God. We as God's people, there are times when we come into church and we are bad to grab hold of something, don't we? We talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning, how that sometimes we come with the thought, well, that's not my song. I didn't like that prayer. I sure didn't like that preaching. Hey, neither did I. You see, when we come in holding on in these ways, where is our mind at? Is it in our hands or is it reaching out to God? Where is our minds at? Are we reaching out to God in the need of the Spirit of God leading us? Are we reaching out as the Spirit moves us in these times? We need to remember and know, as it says here in this 8th verse, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's important for us to try to please God. Much of the world today, we have got it reversed in this world today. It's all about God pleasing us. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. It's about pleasing God, not pleasing ourselves. Many people go to church in churches today, and basically what they'll say is, Lord, what are you going to do for me? That was a quote from Sunday school today. Lord, what are you going to do for me today? I'm just repeating your sermon, your Sunday school lesson, aren't I? See, if you got here at Sunday school time, you would have got the message twice. He done a better job than I did. Your flesh can never please God. We can't do anything of ourselves enough to please God. It's got to get down to the Spirit. Let me give you a verse here, and we're going to 1 Corinthians is where we're going here this morning. And this is the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to give you a couple verses here. And Brother Brad, we're going to be starting to get ready to wind up here in just a few minutes. Starting with verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. You that have been saved, where did you get your salvation from? Did you get it from the 7-Eleven down here? Walmart? Maybe you got it, maybe you got it at the football game yesterday. Where'd you get your spirit at? Where did you get your salvation from? He says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Remember what I told you was over there in that 16th verse, where the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That Spirit is what he's talking about. We didn't get that from this world. We didn't get it through our school system. We didn't get it through the workplace. We got it from the Spirit of God that came in there. What he says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, that's what salvation is. It's free, right? We tell the lost that all the time. It's going to be free. All you've got to do is trust. Just believe that He will. And He'll freely give you. He paid the complete price. He paid the complete cost for your salvation. Amen. Thank God. He did. I didn't have a dime to pay with. None of us has enough money to pay for it with. What about us as saved? Did He not promise us the Spirit of God freely to us? Yes, He did. Notice what He said again. He said that we might know the things. You see, it's important for us to know the things that God has promised us. And that's His Spirit. To lead, to guide, to show us the way throughout this land. Getting us out of the carnal-minded. If we'll reach over to God and follow His Spirit, He'll lead us through these things. He'll help us in the times of trouble. He'll help us to make the decisions that we need. He will help us in those times if we'll look unto Him. Now, drop down to verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. This old flesh here is flesh, right? Very little about this old body is very spiritual. Actually, if you really look, you can't see that spirit man that's inside of me. But the Bible tells us that man has an inward man and an outward man. This is the outward man. The part you can't see is the part that God sees. The inward man is who God deals with. God drawed that spirit of yours to Him. God drawed that soul of yours to Him that He could save it to where that you could have salvation. Was that the end of the story? No. He wanted you to have the knowledge of God. Not only the salvation, but He wanted you to know who He was, how He worked, how He does. He wanted you to have the ability to show others the way. He wanted you to have the ability to be in the Spirit to show others how to find Jesus. Go back to it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I'm going to give you one verse right here and then move on. You ever wonder about some people that says they're saved and they don't act like it? Maybe you find out later on they actually wasn't saved. Did you ever see some of them maybe what we'll say is profess others to be saved? You know what the Bible says about them? If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Years ago, I had a man come up to me and he said, Rick, do you think God will hold a man that is a sinner accountable if somebody told him that he was saved? You think He'll hold him accountable? I said, yeah, He will. And I said, the reason is it's his responsibility to believe, not the preachers that basically deceived him. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The reason why that we as a church, we as a people that have been saved by the grace of God, we are to receive that spiritual wisdom, knowledge that of Jesus and how that we can lead them to the Lord. You see, these people out there that are claiming to know God and don't know Him, that are blind in their ways, and they are leading people astray, they're going into the ditch. So it becomes our responsibility to get them before they get in the ditch, to bring them out, to bring them to Jesus. You may think that you do not have a very spiritual mind, but you've got knowledge. You've got knowledge of salvation, don't you? Ah, preacher, I can't vocalize that. Just tell them what you can. The Lord will help that. If you say, God help me to say what I need to say, He'll help you. Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. Are you spiritually minded? Or are you carnally minded? If you're carnally minded, this altar is always open to anyone to come and seek God. While we stand and sing.
360 at the bottom of the page. 360.